Welcome to Accra Capital's in-house podcast, where we have guests in the startup scene from all over Africa. As Accra is an early-stage startup accelerator, we focus on the early-stage ecosystem, interviewing young startups that have had some success and focusing on their origin stories. We also have on early-stage investors from time to time, but this time I have on Alison Collier, the MD of Endeavor South Africa. Endeavor is like a startup accelerator, but they have a global presence and they are focused further down the line than Accra is. This means they work with small to medium-sized post-revenue businesses and they provide them with high-quality mentorship from CEOs, entrepreneurs, industry experts, and academics. This mentorship network helps select high-impact entrepreneurs that run potential venture-scale startups, and then through a series of programs, Endeavor equips them with the resources they need to scale. In this interview, we cover Alison's background in entrepreneurship and what brought her to Endeavor, what Endeavor does in depth, the spirit of mentorship in South Africa, and we end with a quick-fire round of questions. With that, I give you Alison Collier. Cool. So, would you take us through your background a little bit and what brought you to Endeavor?
Sure. So first off, just thanks so much for having me on this podcast. And I think Accra is doing great work across Africa. And the more work that we can, more of a spotlight that we can have on the entrepreneurial landscape in South Africa and across Africa, the better for all of us. So a little bit about myself and what brought me to Endeavor. So I'm originally South African. I've been working for the last 15, 20 years. Most of that time actually outside of South Africa, but always in roles in business development space, both for large corporates as well as for entrepreneurs. And I really just have an absolute passion for driving value creation and setting up and building new businesses. And I want to say very fortunate, got lots of learning and training. First off from McKinsey, and then after that studied overseas for a while. And then from there, I went on and joined SAB Miller, both in South Africa, and then was fortunate enough to assist them with setting up one of their new offices in Switzerland to run the global sourcing or global procurement for SAB Miller across the world. And there were three of us that started that office, and probably 3 or 4 years later, it was 150 of us. And it was one of the best experiences, I want to say learning experiences, for setting up a new business or new section of a business for a corporate, because we were setting that up as a JV with Molson Coors. We had independence, but then the backing of these two large multinationals. And with that had a checkbook to be able to go out and hire and recruit the most phenomenal talent. And yeah, really with the right people on our team, we were able to grow that business exceptionally quickly and deliver huge amounts of value for the group. And through that process, really learned an enormous amount about what it took to set up a business. And there's, you know, you never end up delivering exactly what to plan, but there's always, if enough people come and work together, you can always find the right way to build something out. And we over-delivered both on revenue and profit in that business. And it was just an exceptional learning experience. But from there, I went on to set up, to work with some friends of mine that had set up an entrepreneurial business in South Africa. And I headed up the expansion into Europe. And thereafter, you know, was really set on coming back to South Africa and working in the local ecosystem here to drive entrepreneurship and growth. Because to me, medium-sized entrepreneurs, they create the most, they're the drivers of job creation and revenue growth. And I think in a market like South Africa, we need a lot of focus in that area right now. And so I was fortunate enough to be to head up the team in South Africa and took on that role from early of last year.
So at SAB, that's a classic example of intrapreneurship, right? Would you characterize it as that?
Yes, absolutely. So SAB was intrapreneurship. And you know, as we were building out the business that I was referring to in Switzerland, it was, I would say, we were fortunate. It wasn't as though it was a department within SAB Miller, because it was a JV structure. Mm. So therefore, because of that, we could run independently in a way and deliver what was going to be the maximum value for that new entity we were setting up, but had the benefit of being able to lean on the most incredible resources and expertise from across the SAB Miller Group and the Molson Coors Group. And then on top of that, had the financial backing from those two corporates to, you know, who obviously have incredibly deep pockets, to be able to, you know, hire the best talent and spend, you know, ahead of the revenue curve. But that just accelerated the pace of the value delivery that our team was able to realize.
Fantastic. Yeah, because entrepreneurship, you know, the curse of entrepreneurship is two things. One thing is you don't always have that freedom, and also you have very high expectations, you know what I mean? With the checkbook has the high expectations. So yeah, it's quite tough as well.
Exactly. I want to say big corporates, they aren't, they're structurally, they're set up to run incredibly efficiently. They're not set up to support and nurture tiny businesses being innovative and over-investing in marketing and doing things in what would be seen in a corporate in a very inefficient and expensive manner. But honestly, when you're running a small business, you need to manage the P&L completely differently from how you manage a large corporate. And many times, I mean, I saw it, we in SAB, I was part of some of the teams that were supporting a whole lot of new brand launch, whether it was at SAB or the time when I was at McKinsey and we were working with Coca-Cola and they were doing the same. The hurdle for the new product launches is so high because you need to generate the right efficiency throughout the business's internal manufacturing, supply, delivery, logistics, and through the sales teams and marketing teams, that to get to those numbers very quickly is always enormously challenging, and often the reason why many of these new brands fail is we just, in a corporate, you need to grow them really quickly for them to make sense for a corporate. In many instances, it's easier for a corporate, or maybe makes more strategic sense, to rather just buy in a brand that's successful, because corporates are really, it's difficult to structure for nurturing small upcoming services or brands, if we're talking consumer goods, versus running a massive corporate machine, which is incredibly efficient and deals with huge, huge volumes.
So that sets you up quite well now for your position at Endeavor.
Yeah, I want to say very, very fortunate, and from the side of understanding also what corporates need when you're selling to corporates, because how corporates purchase, and if you're buying into the supply chain of a corporate, it's very different from selling through to a smaller customer or medium-sized business. So, yeah, definitely brought wonderful learnings that we could apply into Endeavor, but also, you know, that I applied personally when we were building out Boss IST that I joined after leaving SAB, and set that up in Europe and France with a team on the ground there. And I want to say the lessons that I'd learned from my time at SAB Miller and McKinsey were invaluable for that work, but learned an immense amount in that work too. So I think we'll always be learning. And I think that anyone says that they know exactly how to build a business, it's you always learn, because there's always something else that you can improve on. There's nothing better than experience, first-hand learning.
Yeah. So as far as I can tell, with Endeavor, it's almost the startup accelerator model, but slightly further down the line than early stage, you know?
Yes, exactly. So Endeavor, it's slightly different from the majority of the accelerators out there. Endeavor, it's a global organization headquartered in New York. Just started in the very late 90s, early 2000s, and Endeavor right now, we've got presence in 35, 37 markets across the world, primarily emerging markets, and then more recently gone into some of the more developed markets. And you're absolutely right when you say Endeavor works with businesses at a slightly later stage. So in sort of VC terms, we work with businesses more at the growth stage, rather than the early stage or seed stage. So Endeavor gets involved, I can put it in terms, in South Africa, usually the minimum revenue annual revenue for a business before we start working with them is about 10 million rand. But if we look at our portfolio today, in South Africa. We're actively working with 30 businesses. There are another 50 that are in our selection or pipeline. The average revenue for the businesses who we're actively working with today is around the 200 million rand mark. That being said, when they join Endeavor, they're probably anywhere between 10 million rand and 100 million rand. But what's really important is that business is, timing-wise, is at an inflection point. So they're at a place where they've got, you know, a phenomenal management team that's in place, that's got the headspace to take their business, you know, to be market-leading position in, you know, the local market, in this case, it's South Africa, or be in a position where they really are ready to rapidly expand internationally. And they've got a very clear view of the, you know, what their product is or what the solution is that they're offering out to the market. It's clear to them what their pricing strategy and approach is. They've got a very clear commercial model and distribution model, as well as understanding and having a solid view on their growth plan and the capital, either the capital that they've raised or else how they're going to go about raising their capital. So I think to put it quite simply, to say if you really just, if a business came along and you made the right introductions to them for them to go and deliver and sell to, you know, new customers potentially in international markets or local markets, that business must really be at the stage where they can, you know, have those conversations and then deliver with actually, you know, closing those deals, signing those contracts, and then getting the volume moving, and not at a place where it's like, oh, well, thank you so much for that introduction. We'll see you in a year's time once we've, you know, finished building our product or we have our capacity ready that we can actually deliver. So yeah, Chris, we work with businesses at that growth stage that are slightly larger than, it's definitely not an incubator or accelerator. We work with businesses that are expanding rapidly and at that inflection point or after that inflection point where they're scaling to reach market lead position locally or else scaling quickly internationally to accelerate their revenue growth.
And then what's your business model? Do you take equity or what?
So how Endeavor works, I want to say a great question. So Endeavor, maybe just to step back. So Endeavor, it's run globally. We are an NGO. We're mission orientated. Endeavor was set up really to drive long-term economic prosperity and really focusing on these fast-growing, disruptive, medium-sized entrepreneurs. Why? Because the belief is those medium-sized, high-growth entrepreneurs are the drivers of growth in an economy and the key job creators and revenue growth providers. And so through supporting the acceleration of those medium-sized entrepreneurs, therefore you have got the most impact on job creation and the most impact on local revenue growth. And I want to say, most importantly, Endeavor's model is, coming back to the NGO point, there's really a two-way contribution, and all of the Endeavor entrepreneurs, along with having this phenomenal high-growth, disruptive, medium-sized business, so the entrepreneurs are committed and keen to give back to the up-and-coming generation, as are all the business, as are all the business mentors and the Endeavor mentors who sit within our network. They all donate their time and their advice 100% pro bono. So there's a massive give back and pay it forward ethos that runs through Endeavor. And with that, we're able to really multiply the impact that we have. So it's not just, you know, you're supporting these 30 Endeavor entrepreneurs here in South Africa. Those 30 Endeavor entrepreneurs will be supporting an additional, you know, anywhere between 10 and 50 additional people in their community who are up and coming in entrepreneurs. And through that, the impact is much more powerful than the direct impact that Endeavor has or the Endeavor teams have on the entrepreneurs that we work with. So then the commercial model, and how does it work? So I want to say we're very fortunate. I mean, each country really manages its own P&L in Endeavor. So in South Africa, how we manage that is we've got a very generous board, and I'll get a little bit more into the caliber of the individuals on the board, but the board and the Endeavor entrepreneurs, they donate probably about 30% of the costs of running our office, and then about 70% of the costs of running the office are covered through management consulting work that we do through to different corporates in South Africa, as well as partnership agreements that we've got with various corporates in South Africa. And really, I want to say we're really grateful for the partnerships and corporate consulting work that we do. And that really, between that and the donations that we receive from our board and from the Endeavor Entrepreneurs, we're able to manage the that makes up the revenue for our office. Over and above that, we've recently launched Harvest Funds, both here in South Africa, and we've got a global Catalyst Fund. These are VC funds that we, as Endeavor, invest into the entrepreneurs who we support. And these investments, both these funds, work on a rules-based follow-fund co-investment basis. So what does that mean? That means that Endeavor goes in behind a credible lead investor, and then we match or we replicate the pricing terms of that lead investor. We don't go in and do an active due diligence at all, because through the Endeavor selection process to join Endeavor, we've done the due diligence already. And we've got a relationship with these entrepreneurs. So we are in touch with them every week, working with them, you know, on either giving them connections to, you know, to new markets, giving them market access, advising or supporting them on their capital raises, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a great relationship with them. So these two funds we've got, the Global Catalyst Fund, we're on our third fund. The third fund closed about 6 weeks ago. It was great. We raised about $134 million. And that fund is delivering probably 3 to 4 times MOIC. So it's really delivering great results from the exits that we've achieved from Fund 1 and 2. And our global fund invests in any Endeavor entrepreneurs that are raising more than $5 million in a round, and also have got a lead investor who's, you know, a credible VC who we can also see has got a path to exit within 8 years. So similarly here in South Africa, we've got our local South Africa Harvest Fund that plays a very much a complementary role to the Global Catalyst Fund we have. It invests in much smaller rounds. We start investing in rounds anything above 15 million rand. And again, it follows exactly the same principles what I've expressed for earlier. It's a co-investment fund. Rules-based, we'll go in behind a credible lead investor, just match the price terms. We don't do an active due diligence. We don't want to take a director seat, but really be there to be supporting the entrepreneur, but at the same time supporting the local VC market through improving the liquidity, providing capital, hopefully assisting with getting deals to close faster, as well as really to be able to support the entrepreneurs and never for us as Endeavor to be in a situation where we're negotiating price with the entrepreneurs that we support. So that's also a key consideration in the rules-based fund. And something that I just wanted to add on this is here in South Africa, in the VC market versus the international VC market, I mean, there's such a big gap between the amount of activity and the liquidity that we see locally in South Africa, as well as some of the other larger VC markets in Africa, I mean, Kenya, Nigeria, Egypt, Morocco, etc. So we've got a long way to go, and something that is really powerful that we can leverage and gain from Global Endeavor is Global Endeavor through the Catalyst Fund. We partner as Endeavor and work with the top VC funds globally, and have got the most phenomenal access to the international VCs. And really are so well positioned to assist with linking up our local VC community here in South Africa, or, you know, if I put myself in the shoes of the Endeavor office in Kenya or the Endeavor office in Nigeria, similarly link up the local VC markets in those territories with the right international VCs to really bridge the gap as these teams expand from South Africa or Kenya or Nigeria into the international markets, and really get the right strategic capital and get those international parties onto the cap tables of our local entrepreneurs earlier. So those international VC players can really assist with accelerating the growth, revenue growth in the international markets, which is absolutely key to to successfully expanding your business from, you know, when you move out from your local market internationally.
Okay, great. So I just wanted to say, on the Endeavor.co.za landing page, it says high impact entrepreneurship. So that was, ties into what you were saying earlier, you know. So just for people listening, I'm going to read out a couple of your stats, you know, because you can't do the bragging, so I'll do it for you. But just so people can get a feel for how big Endeavor actually is. So 1,258 businesses led by Endeavor entrepreneurs, $20 billion in revenue generated by Endeavor entrepreneurs in 2019 alone, 3 million jobs created by Endeavor companies, 3,200 odd mentors globally, servicing Endeavor entrepreneurs, and 28,000 hours of mentoring provided by Endeavor mentors in 2017-2018. So I wanted to ask on that note, about the mentoring, like how is it conducted basically? Do you sort of connect the people and let them sort of get on with it by themselves, or do you provide a platform and or like monitor it or anything like that?
No, so I want to say great question, and the stats are phenomenally impressive, and they every year they keep improving, and the growth rates and the impact also goes up enormously. So it's something that I want to say we're very proud of, but it really is due to this incredible pro bono network of Endeavor mentors that we have globally that are providing this incredible insight and support and business advice to the entrepreneur. So I can explain a little bit more about who they are first, and then get into how the mentoring is actually conducted. Okay, so first, so you got an impression of sort of the caliber of the business mentors. I can in South Africa, just to put it in context for your listeners, we've got, of those 1,000 numbers that were called out by Chris a moment ago, there are 147 active mentors in the South African market for the 30 or so entrepreneurs that we work with, plus the 50 pipeline and the selection process. And those business mentors are really led by the Endeavor board themselves. So who's on our Endeavor board? It's the most phenomenal set of South Africa business leaders, and they're supported by the Endeavor patrons. I'll talk to those in a moment. So Herman Bosman, the CEO of RMI, he heads up the Endeavor board, he chairs it. And then on the board, we've got a number of leading CEOs in South Africa, as well as phenomenally successful entrepreneurs. So very fortunate, the CEO from both Accenture and EY are on our board, Fukani and Ajin. Then the co-founder of Discovery, Barry Swartzberg, he sits on our board as well. Adrian Gore was part of the founding board, and he's since moved on to be a patron. Then F&B also plays a significant role on our board, and Gordon Little sits on our board from F&B. And then over and above that, we've got a number of very successful entrepreneurs or else business leaders who've since sort of stepped out of their CEO or COO role. So Ernst Groß and Innocent Aturi serve on our board as well. And then the entrepreneurs who serve on our board, Andreas Kambistis from SAIEST, Candice Roberts, who heads up one of the leading BPOs in South Africa, Callforce, and Zake, who co-founded Innovant, and then likewise in Kateko Kosa, who's the CEO of Zana Investments, also sits on our board. So we really got a most wonderful board, and I just wanted to, in the founding board, who now Endeavor patrons, Paul Harris, obviously founder of RMB and the First Round Group, the David Frankel, who's now managing partner at Founders Collective, you recognize that name, I'm sure, and then Adrian Gore and Isaac Shangwe, who's now the CEO, set up Letsema. And it's just wonderful to have such senior business leaders that are willing and keen to mentor the top entrepreneurs in South Africa, as well as the up-and-coming entrepreneurs on a pro bono basis. And they make the time in their diaries to meet and engage with the entrepreneurs in our network. And I want to say they all really are passionate about this space, and because of that, they do make the time, and they love it. I mean, you can feel the energy in the conversations, and it really is just wonderful to see how much of their time they give freely to the entrepreneurs. So how does it work? How does the mentoring get set up? Well, that's where the Endeavor team comes along, and we've got a phenomenal set of portfolio managers in our team in South Africa, Jackie, Matthew, Peter, and Cara, and then as well capital advisors. So Antonio Bothner, Julia Price is just recently moving on to maternity leave, and Mark Herson. And they effectively are working with the different entrepreneurs in our portfolio. And as and when different topics or items come up, they connect them with the relevant business mentors. We effectively sort of set the scene, and then are there to assist with facilitating that conversation between the Endeavor mentor and the entrepreneur. So it's very much a curated process. So we've got sort of an internal LinkedIn, which helps us a lot with short-circuiting and finding the right or the most appropriate mentor for the specific topic at hand. But yeah, it's when you've got 150 mentors, and there are four or five of us in the team, you quite quickly get to know all of the mentors, and likewise, you know all the businesses. So makes it easy to assist with the matchmaking. And the mentors likewise often are keen and willing to suggest colleagues of theirs or peers of theirs who are experts in certain fields to join the Endeavor network, and then, you know, then we increase our mentor base. So it's very much word of mouth on how we increase the mentor base, as well as just proactively going out and asking. But when you're working with such a phenomenal set of business leaders and entrepreneurs, they've got incredible people to suggest and to link us up to. And it's very seldom that individuals aren't keen to mentor, and it's just wonderful to see how much everyone enjoys and values the sessions.
So people from corporate backgrounds, they don't actually realize how much people are willing to help entrepreneurs and things. Like, I mean, even for me, I was in the very beginning, I thought, is that a real thing? Do these successful people who've made it already really, are they really going to spend their precious time with people who are, you know, coming up, you know what I mean? But it is a real thing, you know, it's all over. And I just find it's really a nice space to be in, you know, the entrepreneurship space, yeah, rather than the corporate space.
And I want to say, Chris, you're absolutely right. It's initially, it does feel surprising. Like, why would these individuals give up their time freely when their diaries are so busy and they've got such you know, important jobs, if you just want to say it like that. And, I mean, the short answer is they're passionate about the space, and it's completely, for them, it's completely energizing to have these discussions. And then, honestly, you know, when you've got individuals who are passionate about building businesses, and, you know, they most likely, when they first started out, the business that they were working in was in a very different space to where it is today. And, you know, they're most likely all entrepreneurs or intrapreneurs by nature. And so really enjoy these type of discussions. And on the other hand, you really do keep your finger on the pulse. You get up to speed about the latest trends. You hear things that you might not otherwise hear. And, you know, entrepreneurs, you have to work in an incredibly fast pace, and you're right at the coalface. So whereas when you're in a corporate, there's an incredible volume of work you've got to do, but there's an enormous amount of internal communications, as well as, you know, working with the outside market. Whereas when you're in an entrepreneurial business, your time is spent working with customers. Very little time is spent internally, just because of the nature of the size of the organization that you're in. And it's a very exciting space to be in, and there's huge opportunity for value creation. And I want to say the individuals who are in corporate, who mentors of ours, they're really, it's all optional. So I want to say, and people are opting in, which is great.
Fantastic, yeah. They bring that perspective, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, it's one thing to know exactly how to do a certain task and the next task, but perspective from someone who else who's done it, they can say, look, don't do these 9 out of 10 tasks. Do focus on this one because that's most important. And then you can save people a lot of time from that perspective, you know, that's what I like to call it.
No, I want to say it's, if you can get any advice that can save you time and help you deliver the same revenue, more revenue faster, it's the most value creating advice you can receive. So I couldn't agree with you more. And yeah, once you've, and in a corporate, you also need to know how to navigate that corporate, who really are the budget holders. You know, it's never just one individual. There are many. Some people you just need to align, other people you need to get sign off, and knowing and understanding how to navigate the landscape within a corporate is an enormously valuable and critical. And for lots of the SaaS businesses we work with, you have to, it's many months of negotiating before you get a deal or contract signed. And but when they come, usually they're very sticky. So it's definitely worth the investment. But any advice that you can get from someone who knows and understands that how that corporate works intimately is very valuable.
Yeah, definitely. So I have two rounds of questions that I ask at the end, just quick questions. One's called a medium fire round, and the other one I call a no think yes or no round. Would you like to do one or both? Or
well, all I can say is just go for it. I really don't know what to expect on either, but I'm happy to give them both a go.
Okay, so they're all very different questions, but the first one is in the medium fire round, which is you can take a few sentences to reply to these. Which current developments give you hope for the future of humankind?
Okay, yeah. So with that, I want to say two things. One is the huge focus that we're seeing in shift to of large investors talking about impact funds and money moving and large chunks of money moving to be invested in that space. Because at the end of the day, we can talk about all these things that are nice and lovely and, you know, so on. But sadly, just the reality is that money leads these things. And so once the money and the investment moves to be invested into businesses or industries that are more impact focused, so those impact focused industries will thrive. And so we'll start getting a much more balanced growth in our economies, and job creation and communities will be uplifted. And it's wonderful to see that. We've got a long way to go, but there definitely are growing signals that is happening.
Name something you would advise super early stage founders to cultivate super early.
Oh, I would say a phenomenal network of people who've been there and done it before, and get a few that are 6 months ahead of you, get a few that are 5 years ahead of you, get a few that are 20 years ahead of you. And keep those relationships and work on them.
What's the first good business book that comes to mind?
Blitzscaling.
Intelligence or relentlessness?
Relentlessness.
Everyone says that, but you know, I put it into to get people to think about it, you know.
You definitely do need intelligence, but I think you need to be much more relentless than intelligence. And I think if some of us were more intelligent, I think we wouldn't necessarily take on some of these tasks.
It's a dissertation in itself, but what's the best piece of advice you've received?
Yeah, I think the best advice is your network is your net worth.
Oh, no, definitely. If you weren't involved in startup land, what would you be doing?
I'd be doing the same thing within a large corporate.
Elon or Bezos?
Bezos.
Wow, yeah. most people say Elon, but I take it you've read that.
No, I think, so why do I say Bezos? I think the opinions that I hear from him, they're more thoughtful and more constructive. And I want to say I love the way that Elon is so disruptive. And I want to say what he's doing in the market is absolutely unbelievable. I mean, but I want to say sometimes the way in which he conducts himself I think there are better ways that we can conduct ourselves.
Abroad.
I mean, I want to say what achievements from both. It's difficult to choose one.
Definitely. Like, yeah, I mean, there's a book called The Everything Store. And if you read that, I mean, it outlines Bezos' whole journey, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Out of this world.
Yeah. Okay. Now's the no think, yes or no round.
Okay.
There'll be a million people on Mars before we die.
No.
Work-life balance.
Yes.
The Earth is definitely flat.
No.
This statement is not a double negative.
No.
It was a bit unfair to put you on the spot like that.
Yes.
Would you give up your eyesight to keep your hands?
No.
The iPod was more revolutionary than drones have been or will be.
No.
One day humans will not age past their prime.
Yes.
People should give up shaking hands forever.
No.
Great. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast, eh?
Listen, Chris, an absolute pleasure to be here. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And wonderful that you are promoting entrepreneurship and running these podcasts. So thanks to you.
Fantastic. Thanks.